What's the song that everyone needs to hear? Or the song that reminds you of that person you'd rather forget? On Castaway Cassettes, guests share the music that has influenced their lives. This is Castaway Cassettes.
Welcome to Castaway Cassettes. I'm your host, Flora. And Castaway Cassettes is a weekly show here on URN where we have different guests explain their lives through six tracks. Our guests come from varied backgrounds, professors to students who shape the music scene here at Nottingham University. This week's guest is Celeste Adams, who is an English student here at Nottingham and one of our own here at URN, University Radio Nottingham, with her show, The Alt Show. The Alt Show is an amazing show here on URN where Celeste brings to the listeners the mix of the hottest alternative rock, Midwest emo, shoegaze and pop-punk tracks. Welcome Celeste, how are you doing today?
I'm alright thanks, how are you?
I'm good! We are going to start off with your first track, which you said has encapsulated your childhood. Would you like to give us a little intro of what this track is?
Okay, so this... As a child, my dad would try and introduce me to the music that he was interested in. Mm. So quite often, after bath time, as a very, very small child, he'd sit me down in their, my parents' bedroom on the floor, and he'd had this pair of speakers, which are actually called Celeste.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a connection. And this is one of the songs that I remember most him playing to me. This is Apple by Royksopp.
All right, so enjoy that.
We'll be right back.
This is Castaway Cassettes.
That was Ethel by Royxtop and Celeste. I thought it was Cecil, I'm very sorry.
I like my nickname Cecil, that's fine.
That is kind of freaky. Anyway, Celeste, you said that this song reminds you of your childhood and especially your dad.
Yeah.
Is there, let's start off with, where did you grow up?
So I was actually born in the US.
Where?
I was born in just north of Detroit, Michigan. But I've lived in the UK for as long as I can remember. Moved back when I was a baby. Mm. So I've sort of lived and grown up just north of Birmingham. Mm.
And you said that your dad used to play you this track,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So do you think your dad has had a big influence on your music taste?
I've diverged quite a bit since. he mainly listens to some very strange stuff on like BBC Six Music.
Okay.
And I sort of went down the pop punk route and then completely went into a very strange place. But we still find some mutual artists, especially with shoegaze. He definitely influenced me in that area, I think.
That's so cool. Yeah. And what does your dad do? Does he do anything musical at all? Or?
Not at all, no. He started playing the bass guitar a few years ago, which is when I started playing as well.
Okay.
Because he upgraded to a 5-string very quickly. And then I just sort of stole his old 4-string that he didn't want anymore.
Nice. We like that, stealing from parents.
Yeah. But no, he's, as his job, he's just an engineer, so. Okay.
Anyone in your family, are they musical at all?
Not really. Mm. My mum used to play the clarinet. My sister did the violin for a bit, and I started the flute when I was 7.
Nice.
That's about it. No one takes it very seriously.
You should always take flute very seriously.
Honestly, yes.
So where do you think this kind of passion for music came from?
I'm not entirely sure. I feel like it was just, I got to a certain stage when I was a teenager and it just sort of clicked with me. It helped me understand my own experiences in the world a bit better.
Mm.
Yeah, it just sort of became a bit of a coping mechanism and then it turned into an obsession and here I am.
That's what we like.
Okay.
So you said you kind of, it became an obsession. How old were you, do you say, when you started becoming very obsessed with music?
Well, I always listened to the radio a lot growing up, and then I'd say about 13 or 14. That's when I started actually looking into bands myself, discovering new artists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And was there anybody who really influenced which artists you looked at?
Not really. It was mainly just me seeing what I liked. And then it just turned out that my friends at school agreed with me.
I like that.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, sweet. So now we're going to move on to our next track, which you said helped you first appreciate music more deeply. So we're going to listen to it and then we'll chat about it afterwards.
Okay.
So this is Demons by Imagine Dragons.
When the days are cold and the cards all fold and the saints we see are all made of gold. When your dreams all fail and the wounds we are the worst of all, and the bloods run stale. I wanna hide the truth, I wanna shelter you, but with the beast inside, there's nowhere we can hide. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom come, this is my kingdom come. Sinners crawl, so they dug your grave in the masquerade. We'll come calling out at the mess you've made. Don't wanna let you down, but I am hellbound. Oh, this is all for you. Don't wanna hide the truth. No matter what we breed, we still are made of greed. This is my kingdom come, this is my kingdom come. When you pull my key to look into
What's the song that everyone needs to hear? Or the song that reminds you of that person you'd rather forget? On Castaway Cassettes, guests share the music that has influenced their lives. This is Castaway Cassettes.
So that was Demons by Imagine Dragons, which Celeste, who runs the Alt Show here on URN, said that it helped her appreciate music more deeply. So what is it about this track that made you appreciate music more deeply because of it?
I mean, I was a bit of a sad kid, and I feel like this song, it was one of the first songs I really sort of heard on like mainstream radio, which was talking about mental health issues and raising awareness and saying like, it's okay to be different, it's okay to have these struggles and to talk through it. Everyone's different, everyone goes through this stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like it wasn't done in sort of a corny pop way. It was, I don't know, it was different. So that sort of sent me down this route of alternative rock.
Which I love, because I think definitely at that time when this kind of track was coming out, right, there was a lot of pop tracks that just didn't talk about anything deep at all.
Like,
I can think of like Timber, but is it Pitbull?
Yeah.
And Kesha or something like that?
Kesha.
Oh, like that's slightly different kind of vibes.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that you found this other thing to go with. Is there a specific memory that you have of when you first listened to this song?
Not when I first listened to it, but I remember for an English class, we had to do a little speaking and listening presentation on like whether we had to argue whether music should be banned or not.
Whoa, okay.
And I was very strongly against that. And I played this song in front of the class to sort of make my point. And I remember that being a very poignant moment for me, because a lot of my classmates didn't really understand me. They just thought, oh, she's a bit of a quiet, weird kid in the corner. And then they were like, oh, wait. This makes a bit more sense now. And this is what she's interested in.
Yeah.
So I feel like it, not only did it help me connect with myself, it helped me connect with others.
Other people,
when I started sharing it.
And did you find another group of people through doing that had the same kind of music taste as you?
Quite a lot of people did come up to me and like, oh, I love this song, I love this band, do you listen to this?
Yeah.
And sort of open those conversations, which is quite nice.
Did it open you up for more kind of going to go see and have musical experiences?
Yeah, so Imagine Dragons was the first big concert that I went to.
Nice.
And I've seen them twice now, and it doesn't get old. It was very emotional for me.
Yeah.
And like that sort of started me going to see a lot more live music, because I feel like I don't get that sort of high that I get from seeing music live anywhere else.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice treat.
That's so cool though, that was your kind of first big concert as well. Are they very different? Do you find them very different listening to them on concert than it is listening to them recorded?
I think they're better live,
actually. Yeah.
Which is impressive, because they're already, I mean, talking about the earlier albums, the later albums are a bit, that's a debate for another time. But
maybe on your show?
No. It may be on my show. But yeah, no, live, there's so much passion. And he makes sure to have like little speeches in between the songs as well. So it's not just like, oh, thanks for coming out here, guys. He'll talk about something that actually matters to him, is important to him, and causes that he thinks that we should believe in.
So do you think that's important to music?
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, if you've got that sort of reach and that sort of audience and that sort of impact that you can have on people individually, then why not try and do it for the better?
Yeah, absolutely, totally. Sweet, so we are now going to move on kind of from talking about the past and being nostalgic, which I love, to talking kind of about right now. So we're going to have the next song, which is a song that you are loving right now. Would you like to intro the song?
Yes, so this is Dig by OsoOso. So I saw OsoOso last Wednesday.
Nice.
At the Bodega, and it was amazing. So I started listening to him few years ago when he'd released his first LP, and he's only just got onto a proper label, I think. So his last album was also, it's called the Yoonhong Mixtape, because he had to release it himself, he couldn't find a label for it, so he just called it a mixtape instead of an LP or anything. And he's quite a big name now, and this whole album has sort of been exploring like his coming to terms with this new fame and him trying to lead on this personal road of recovery, and you can sort of hear that in the lyrics of this a bit.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so this is Dig by Oso Oso. Listen up.
Castaway Cassettes.
All right, so you were just listening to Dig by Oso Oso, and you are currently listening to Castaway Cassettes. Castaway Cassettes is a weekly show here on URN where we interview guests every week, and they talk about their lives through explaining six different tracks. Today we have Celeste Adams with us from URN and from her show, The Alt Show. We were just listening to Dig by Oso Oso because Celeste explained it as a song that she's loving so much right now. And she went and saw them just the other week, which is so cool. So how was it seeing them live? I'm going to ask you the similar question of what I did before. Were they better or worse live?
I think about the same. He's great anywhere. Anytime, anywhere. He's amazing. I actually met him after the show. Saw him walk out onto the stage, and I sort of rushed over and shook his hand. Tried to play it very cool. He's an amazing man. He does it all himself, but then he hires people to tour with him. So I think it was nice to have like a bit of a bigger sound and to see all the parts individually.
Because like when he records, does he like record each thing separately and then mash them together?
I think so. Okay. I don't know if he hires people to record with them, but
yeah,
the man's got talent.
So what is it about this guy that you like so much?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's because the actual content of his music explores like quite deep, sometimes quite dark emotional experiences. But then like the actual sound of it isn't that downbeat. It's quite upbeat and cheery. Absolutely. And it just,
yeah,
it's like you could bop along to it without realizing it. So I think you can sort of digest it on different levels depending on what mood you're in.
Yeah.
So like if I'm feeling sad, then I can think about it. If I'm not, then I can still listen to this song and it will keep me in a good mood.
I like the way you said that, digest on different levels. That was really cool. So you said that he was touring because he just put out a new album.
Yeah.
What do you love so much about this album?
So Basking in the Glow is my album of the year.
Love it. Okay. It's not even the end of the year yet and you're excited. Ooh.
I know. Okay. The men singers were fighting a bit for it, but they haven't taken the top spot yet. I don't know. I was very excited for it because I love his first two albums. And then it came out in August, I believe. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, this is insane.
Mm.
And I think it was Pitchfork's Best New Music as well for a while, which says something. honestly, I think you just need to listen to it to understand.
Okay.
There's something about it.
Mm. Like, that something about it, does it make it different from kind of the rest of the music scene at the moment?
It's not too different from the whole of Midwest emo, I'd say.
Okay.
Everything within that sort of genre is, I don't want to say relatively similar. Like, if you're not into the genre, you might just think this all just sounds the same.
Mm.
But to me, it's all very different. But I feel like he's got a very specific sound, which no one else has really created within this scene.
Yeah. And then what is it specifically about the song Dig that he does that you like so much as the rest of it?
That was one of the first singles that he released off the album. Okay. So that's what got me excited about the whole album. And it's still, I think it's because I've listened to it more than the rest of the album because it came out first. Time to digest it. It just gets to that point on the album and it plays that and I'm like, I know this one.
I love that. And how did you find out about him?
There's a lot of scrolling through Spotify.
Yes, I love that. Spotify Weekly, all that kind of
honestly,
stuff.
Honestly, it's a lot of just going on YouTube deep dives as well. Mm-hmm. That's how I sort of got into this whole genre, and this is how I find the strange stuff that I play on the show.
No, that's how I find new music as well. I think it's really interesting that we're in this kind of new stage of music where you can so easily find new people.
Yeah.
And that's why I love asking that question of like, how did you find this? Because people go through so many different things.
Yeah. Another good way is to look at record labels. So I noticed that a lot of my bands that I really loved were signed to Run for Cover Records.
Okay.
And then they mainly only put out Midwest emo for a few years ago. And so I thought, oh, I like this band. I'll see what else this record label's putting out.
Yeah.
Oh no, I love all the bands that this record label does. And a lot of new music very suddenly. Very excited. And then, like, if you go on that artist Bandcamp page as well, you can usually find similar artists through that as well. That's really useful.
So would you say that that's kind of online is kind of how you find your new music rather than maybe from your friends or people around you?
Definitely, mainly online, There's also some Facebook meme pages that I'm on now, which helps me quite a lot.
Would you say that you don't really have people around you who have a similar music taste?
I've started to find a few. Still not many people understand or know what Midwest emo and shoegaze are. Like pretty much every week on my radio show I go, I can't genre, but this is what these genres are meant to mean and this is what I think genre this song is.
Yeah. Which is fun though, because genres should slightly be a bit ambiguous, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And I guess I feel like some of your songs, they all kind of go from all of these different areas of the same genre.
Yeah.
Alright, so we are going to go on to your next song, which is Safer in the Forest / Love for Poor Michigan. Would you like to give us a little intro of what this song means to you? Oh, you decided the song because it talks about something that's important to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a song about Michigan, which is where I was born, and also this is a slightly different genre of music. This is spoken word. So if you haven't listened to spoken word before, you might think, oh, this is a bit weird. Sorry about that. you'll understand it a bit more, I feel like, once you dip your toes in the genre a bit. It's basically poetry to music. Mm. As an English student, poetry is important to
yes.
me. The band's based in Michigan, Grand Rapids. They talk a lot about local issues, human experience. So they'll talk to people who've been in bad situations, especially on the album Wildlife is talking about sort of putting themselves in the shoes of other local people who've gone through certain traumas. Mm. So they've got a really poignant song about a drive-by shooting which happened. It's deep stuff. I'm sorry for bringing it down a bit.
No, I love it.
They also talk a lot about mental health, which is another really important topic to me. Mm. So they're just a really good, wholesome band who do a lot of charity work, local, supporting local causes, raising awareness for people's experience. And I think it's just such a beautiful song.
Awesome. Well, enjoy this beautiful song, Safe in the Forest / Love for Poor Michigan by La Dispute. Thank you.
What's the song that everyone needs to hear? Or the song that reminds you of that person you'd rather forget? On Castaway Cassettes, guests share the music that has influenced their lives. This is Castaway Cassettes.
So that was Safer in the Forest / Love Song for Poor Michigan by La Pursuit. So you said this song is important to you.
Yeah.
And you explained a little bit about how it kind of talks about mental health issues. Why is that area so important to you?
I know a lot of people who struggled with it. I've struggled with it a little bit myself. I feel like it's just almost an epidemic that's happening at the moment. Mm. Loads of people, they get to this sort of stage at university, and then there's a lot of stress, there's a lot of pressure. The internet, not helping. And I feel like finding music is one of the things that helped me. I've found that it helps a lot of people too. And so if it's, especially within like the emo genres, as cringy as it sounds, it does sort of, a lot of it is about self-medicating with music instead of other things, and it's sort of raising awareness that there are other options out there. There are other people experiencing the same things as you.
Yeah, you're not alone, right?
It creates such a wholesome community.
Mm.
And a lot of these bands, because they've gone through mental health issues themselves, they will support mental health charities. So this whole music scene is sort of a support network within a support network.
Yeah.
And it's just doing amazing things.
Mm. And I find it interesting that you've used the word emo. Because I feel like that comes with a lot of negative connotations.
Yes.
Or interesting connotations.
Let's talk about real emo.
Yes, please. How do you describe the identifier of emo?
So when I say emo, I'm assuming that you think Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, black hair across your face.
I am guilty, yes.
That is not what it is.
Okay.
That's pop punk with an influence of alternative rock.
Okay.
It's not emo. Real emo, I'm going to quote the copy pasta a bit here. It only consists of the 90s DC emotional hardcore scene.
Okay.
So that's like bands like Cat'n Jazz, Moss Icon, Rites of Spring, very heavy stuff, and Midwest emo was sort of a branch off that, where they're influenced by real emo, but they're sort of making it into their own thing, and they've got influences from other genres as well.
Mm.
And that's sort of where I hover. the term emo is so contentious.
Mm.
There's a lot of middle-aged men being very snarky about what's real and what isn't, and all these genre definitions, but yeah, no, it's all about some sort of emotional connection to the music.
How do you find having to tell people that you like emo music? Because obviously they will not know the proper, the way that you would describe it.
When I first demoed for a radio show in first year, I didn't get it. And I feel like part of the reason was, because I remember the person who was doing my demo, he was like, and what genre is your show going to be about? And then I mentioned emo and he was like, God, not this. Oh no. I feel like there's just that initial reaction that everyone's got.
Mm.
Because it was sort of, there were a lot of scene kids that you sort of grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s, and that sort of taken away the meaning from it.
Exactly.
Which is why I always say Midwest emo, because I feel like people are like, oh, I don't know what that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then they can actually question it. I really like that. And you said that the song was all about Michigan, and you was obviously born there.
Yeah.
How closely do you identify with being from Michigan?
So I've only been back once, and that was when I was 18. So that was the first time that I really got to see where I was born, where my family lived, where they worked, meet like old family friends. But I've always had that sort of connection to it. I've always known that that's a part of my identity. Sort of like a connection that I have to it, because I have the nationality, I have the passport, I can go work there if I want to. And we've always been in touch with some family friends over there, so I've always had that little link. It's always been at the back of my mind that I've missed out of some of that American culture by growing up over here. And the same with in Austria, because I've got connection to Austria, I'm part Austrian, so it's sort of, I've got a bit of a worldwide perspective of my nationality. I don't feel tied down to just Britain or just America or just Austria. I think it gives me a bit of a wider worldview, which is quite a good thing, I think.
Yeah. As someone who was born in another country and moved and all that kind of stuff, I sometimes find it hard that I find it hard because I feel like sometimes I don't belong somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find that a difficult thing as well?
I've had other people say very similar things to me. Like they've asked me, do you feel like you just don't belong anywhere? You're just part of... I don't find that. I just feel like I've got connections to more places. But I think because I'm quite an emotional person, I'm quite good at reading people. I feel like I'm just... find it quite easy to make connections to other cultures and other people, which is why, rather than thinking, oh, I don't know which country I belong to, I just think I can belong to any of
these.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing way of thinking about it. It's like, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, but like citizen of the world.
Yeah.
Incredibly cheesy, but I do love it. So are your parents from Michigan?
No, they were living and working there for about 10 years.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And when you sent in your kind of description of why you wrote this song, you said when you went back at 18 and you kind of listened to the Midwest music,
yeah,
which Michigan fits into, right? It does?
Yeah.
Something had a panic there. Sorry.
Geography
I'm
there.
So bad at geography. That do you think... It's really interesting that now you're into that kind of music and you were born there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that does have some kind of connection to why you're into this music because you were born there?
When I first started listening to these sort of bands and these sort of genres, I didn't pay attention to where the bands were from or like any of their biographical details. And so I was just sort of, I was in an alternative rock phase, quite mainstream, and then I branched off into Midwest emo, didn't run for cover records and all that jazz, and I didn't make the connection that is based in the Midwest. These are Midwest bands talking about their experience in Midwest America. And then once I did make that realization, I thought, oh, maybe this is me connecting to a part of my identity that I didn't really consider before.
Which is really cool. And it's very interesting though, and I want to hear your perspective on this, that all these kind of Midwestern bands are talking about mental health and things like that. Why do you think that is?
America. Oh, America.
I love the sigh beforehand.
Oh dear. I don't know how much I want to say about that. I feel like it's not just America, to be fair. I feel like everywhere is having a bit of a crisis, and especially the new generation is having to take on quite a lot of responsibility, probably not getting the amount of support that they should be getting. It's all just a bit of a mess, isn't it?
it is. Okay, so maybe to move away so you don't say anything too mean about America, how important do you think it is for musicians to talk about mental health? Do you think there's an extent where they can actually be, they talk about it too much, they're actually hurting the cause? Or do you think any sort of talk about it is positive?
I feel like some artists are not in the space where they are capable of talking about it yet. And I feel like it's very important that they should only do it when they're ready. Because they're already putting so much of themselves out there that they shouldn't feel pressure to do it. But the artists that I know who do talk about it have helped me and many people that I know massively, and it's sort of making that connection and saying, you're not alone, look, I've already put my life out there, I've shown you my experience, I'm doing all right out of it. it's a very important and positive message to put out there, and I feel like it's really impressive and really, really commendable when bands do manage to do that.
Absolutely. Sweet. So we're going to move on to our next track because we're running out of time. And this next track is a song that you said that you could listen to over and over again. Would you like to describe what the song is?
Okay, so this is an iconic song. If you know what I'm talking about when I say Midwest emo, you will know this song. This is Never Meant by American Football.
All right, enjoy.
Thank you.
This is Castaway Cassettes.
So that you were just listening to Never Meant by American Football, and you are currently listening to Castaway Cassettes, which is a weekly show here on URN where we have different guests explain their lives through six tracks, and these guests are influencers in the Nottingham University music scene. This week we have Celeste Adams with us, who runs the Alt Show here on URN. So you just chose that song Never Meant by American Football because you said you could listen to it over and over again. And it's interesting because you said that if you know the genre that you're talking about, you would know the song.
So
I'm surprised it hasn't put you off the song, that people know it so strongly.
I feel like I've just heard it so many times and so many people have told me about it, and then all of these pages and artists that I follow always talk about it and sort of come back to this. It's just, and to be fair, they're talking about it for a reason. They're coming back to it for a reason. LP1 is amazing. They self-titled all of their albums, so you have to call them LP1 and whatever. But it's so iconic. It has been played to death. It is known to death. The house on the album artwork is also famous. Like people will do pilgrimages to take a picture in front of it.
I love that.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just so iconic, and I feel like it sums up the whole sort of almost musical goals for the genre that a lot of artists are going for.
I like that.
So I feel like, and it's quite an easy song to listen to as well. So yeah. I feel like I've played some heavy stuff already, and this is quite light, quite fairly neutral. It's a very easy way to get into the genre.
And you said it was iconic.
Oh, definitely.
For the genre, what makes it so iconic? Like, what is it about the song?
I think, obviously, the lyrics. On a very obvious level, it's very emotional, very very sad, slightly whiny, which we love. We love the whine. And also, the way they use the instruments. It's a lot of twinkly guitar riffs, That's what a lot of bands get roasted for doing in Midwest emo, but they do it because it sounds great.
Yeah,
and it does, and you don't really hear that elsewhere. Maybe in a bit of dream pop and such, but it's mainly that combination of very emotional lyrics and then twinkly little guitar riffs over the top. Yeah. It sort of sums up Midwest emo pretty well for me.
I love that. So this song, you said you'd listen to it over and over again and never get tired of. Is it connected in any way to any sort of memory or person for you?
Not really.
Maybe that's why.
I don't have any sort of strong connections to it. So it won't bring up bad memories. Mm. It's just sort of a classic that I can always go back to. And it's on almost every Midwest emo playlist ever. So I feel like it will just come up and I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
And you won't get sick of it ever?
No,
I don't think so.
That's
really awesome, yeah. And to kind of go back to the whole emo conversation again, I think a lot of people have very negative connotations over this word, and it's interesting that you have kind of taken it and made it your own.
Yeah.
Would you say that that's, how have you done that? How have you got to that journey?
It's taken a while. I've never really known what to class myself as. So some people have said that I'm a tomboy. Some people strongly disagree with that. Some people will say that I'm a bit of a bookworm, and then I kind of am, but then I'm also a massive music nerd. And I've sort of never had that sort of little clique or anything.
Yeah.
I feel like people will find a little stereotype for themselves and sort of fit themselves in it. I've never really had that. So I've always just sort of kind of made it up as I go along and trying to carve out my own sort of identity, and then try to explain it to people afterwards, like, oh no, this isn't what I'm doing, this is normal. But yeah, musically, I just didn't really connect with what other people were listening to, what other people were doing. Still struggle to listen to the radio now.
Obviously not URN then.
Not URN. No, actually, the daytime playlists here are pretty good, I must admit.
That's great, because the person who produces the show is the playlist editor, so I'm sure she'll love that.
But yeah, it was just sort of, I don't connect to this, I don't really fit in with this, let's search the internet until I find some music that means something to me. And then I've managed to find that after a few years, and it's still changing. So I'm starting to get more into, like, I started off branching into new wave shoegaze, so like bands like Turnover, who did they started off in pop punk and then they went into sort of a new shoegaze-ish type sound in their second album Peripheral Vision, and then that took me back to like the original 80s wave. And I'd never sort of ventured into anything musical before the 90s, so sort of heading into that whole new dimension with like My Bloody Valentine, Lush, all of that. It's still changing, it's still developing as I grow as a person.
It's interesting though, that would you say that you don't really like labels?
Labels can be useful, genres can be useful, but it's also so hard to use them and actually apply them in reality.
Which must be hard in your show, which is all about a genre.
That is why my catchphrase on the show is "I can't genre."
I love that. All right, so we are now going to move maybe away from what you would play on your show
to a
track that you said that others would be surprised to know that you love. Would you like to explain this song a little bit?
So this was actually really hard to choose because I didn't know what would surprise people anymore, because I feel like I've gone into some very eclectic music choices over the years. But when I first listened to this band, I didn't understand it at all. It's very different from what I'd usually
really
listen
different.
To.
It did shock me.
Really? So this is by a band called 100 Gex. So they're a bit famous at the moment. They're starting to blow up because of what they're doing is so unique. So basically their latest album, 1000 Gex, is a commentary on the internet age and like our interactions with being digital and online, and how that affects our relationships, our lives. And so the way they do that is by sampling a lot of computer sounds.
Okay.
And so it's a very, very strange, eclectic, very high tempo, upbeat, crazy, 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 crazy mix of things in a sort of it's more of like a dance electronic genre, which I don't really listen to anything else of. But once I realised like what they were trying to achieve with this album and what they're actually discussing, and how, like, again, like the way that we live our lives now, the way our society is structured is affecting our mental health and the way we process information, our attention spans and everything. The way that they're actually exploring that and sort of like almost satirising it in this music. Then I started to really appreciate it, and I was like, okay, I get this now, I like this.
All right, so now hopefully the listeners will be able to understand and hear the satirical nature of the song. So listen to, enjoy listening to Ringtone by 100 Gex.
My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. 27 missed calls, lighting up my cell phone. Sending you a text saying, call you when I get home. Taking off my work clothes, working in a cold one. 45 group 50 group DMs, send another text asking me if I seen them. Pushing back a deadline, gotta make my bedtime. Then I crack a smile, cause I love you and I'll do it all again. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I am. Something's gotta work this time. It's my way of trying to let you know I've got a little thing for you. I've got a little crush or something. Maybe I'm just drunk. Customize my ringtone, but it's always you. It's always you, it's always you, it's always you.
Yeah.
boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I know. My boy's got his own ringtone. It's the only one I know, it's the only one I answer.
What's the song that everyone needs to hear? Or the song that reminds you of that person you'd rather forget? On Castaway Cassettes, guests share the music that has influenced their lives. This is Castaway Cassettes.
All right, that was Ringtone by 100 Gecs. And this song is a song that you chose because you said that others would be surprised to know you like this track, because it is very different from all the other tracks you have been playing. You said you liked how it was still talks about kind of mental health and all that stuff. So would you say that's an important component in a good song?
For me, I hate one of the things that I don't get along with in a sort of popular music and sort of some classic rock. It's just how hollow the lyrics seem to be. I don't get anything from it. I don't understand why they're talking about it. Yeah, the melody can be nice, but I feel like, I don't know, it just feels empty to me. And I feel like once someone puts a bit of themselves into their songwriting, into their lyrics, even if it's not personal, even if they just put a bit more thought and attention into it and sort of make it a narrative almost, then that grabs my attention.
That's so interesting. So obviously narrative then is an important component for you for a good song. What would you say are other parts that make up a good song?
I mean, it's got to be catchy. I will very easily get a song caught in my head and then listen to it on repeat for about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Not even exaggerating. I'm that bad.
But do you not get sick of them? I would.
I get sick of them about after 2 weeks.
Okay.
And then I'll just come back to them every now and again. But I'll have a short period of time where it'll become my obsession. And it'll just be my little earworm on repeat. So yeah, I feel like if it's catchy and if it means something, then I'll probably be a fan of it.
I love that. This song is obviously very different from the other songs that you've chosen. Is there a particular mood you have to be in to listen to this song?
If I'm just like trying to do some work, I definitely can't listen to it.
Yeah, it's quite a lot.
That's when I listen to shoegaze, some lo-fi hip hop, whatever. My sort of baseline, I'd say, is Midwest emo, alternative rock, some indie, and then if I'm in a really good mood or if I'm feeling a bit energetic, then I whack this on and then I have a little party to myself in the kitchen when I'm cooking. Yeah,
I love that. That's so cool. And you said you sound like you've gone through so many different genres and different kind of areas of music. Can you see maybe an area that you're moving into in the future that you think is a very upcoming area of music?
Oh gosh, what a question. I already mentioned that I'm starting to head back into the origins of like shoegaze. And I started doing that a few months ago as well, like getting into real emo. So sort of the heavier hardcore and post-hardcore bands. So I feel like I might dip into that again, and who knows, maybe head into metal.
Ooh, do it. Treat yourself. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on Castaway Cassettes.
Thank you for having me.
It's been awesome having you, and it's been so interesting. Thank you for sharing your insights with us. Have a listen to Celeste's amazing show, which happens every Monday at 7 to 9 p.m., which is called The Alt Show, and you'll be able to listen to all the new alternative rock, Midwestern emo, shoegaze, and pop-punk tracks that she plays. And as always, you can get in contact with URN on Twitter and Facebook with @URN1350 and on our website, www.urn1350.net. Thank you so much for listening, and join us again next week, Sunday 3 till 4, where we'll be talking to Dom and Rue from their URN show, Small Hours.